I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Very good, my friend. How are you?
A lot to get to today. An arousing opening game for the New England Patriots. Preseason action. They crushed the Detroit Lions the other night in Detroit. We're going to get to that. Red Sox. Hey, Chris Sale looked productive one time.
Sweet.
And I have a thought on Mookie Betts, but first I'm going to start with the Patriots. And I'm going to start with Tom Brady and the new contract and him selling his house. That's where I'm going to start. So, obviously, I'm going to assume you didn't miss it. Tom Brady's house in Brookline went on the market. And, you know, it was coinciding with the contract that he signed with the Patriots, the extension that wasn't really an extension. It was essentially a one-year deal. He did get a raise, about an $8 million raise, but it was a one-year deal. And those years that were on the end of it were for salary cap purposes, and it wasn't actually an extension. Okay, so Tom Brady apparently was a little annoyed at the deal. He doesn't have the security that he wants. And not just Tom Brady's reaction I want to get to right now, but also the reaction of everybody, the media, the house being sold around the time of the contract being signed. The first thing I'm going to say is Tom Brady, this is what we know.
Yeah.
Okay. There's stuff we don't know. This is what we know. Tom Brady wants to end his career with the Patriots. We know that. So that's number one, and that is huge. So if you're wondering what it means that Tom Brady's house went on the market, I'm going to talk about my situation for a minute. In my house, I don't know about your house. You have a woman that you live with.
I do.
Yeah. There is no movement of the family, no moving of homes, unless my wife initiates the movement to move. That's how it works in my house. Now, not that I wouldn't get a job that would make me move and I'd have to say, hey, we might have to think about it, but if my wife didn't want to move, we wouldn't move. Okay? That's how it is here. That's how I've heard it is elsewhere. And I'm assuming, and this is just an assumption, but Tom Brady is married to one of the biggest boss ladies ever in Giselle. Tons of money, tons of power, tons of influence, more money than Tom Brady. I'm going to guess that if they're going to move, Tom Brady's wife is either initiating that movement, that idea, that plan, or she's heavily involved in the decision-making process, if not the sole reason that they're going to do that. So I don't buy that Tom Brady and him selling his house has anything to do with his contract or any sort of displeasure about his contract or lack of an extension or anything like that. I don't buy it. I think they're moving, and I think if they are moving, this is a happy wife, happy life situation. And that's that. Brady wants to be here. We know that. I don't care what kind of tension there has been with Belichick, or there might still be a little bit with. I don't care. He wants to end his career here. He loves the craft. It's been too long. There's too many things that have happened. I mean, they're just so invested. He wants to end it here. Why would he want to just move out of Boston right now, move his family out of Boston right now? It doesn't make any sense for Tom Brady to want that. Not to mention the fact that the U.S. Open is at Brookline in 2022 and he's a big
backyard.
But forget about that. There is no reason to want to move right now. So I conclude that they are moving, they're selling their house, if they're moving to New York or Greenwich, Connecticut or whatever, because it's best for his wife. She thinks it's best for the family, and they'll make it work. We've seen it work. Chris Hogan, his wife, and their kids are on Long Island. He was commuting. It can work. I don't think it has anything to do with the Patriots and Tom Brady not being a member of the Patriots for his final season or two or three or whatever it is.
I completely agree. I think this is an insane thing. The coincidence is what got everyone to, you know, get their dander up and get all conspiracy theory on it. I look at it as simple as this. They bought a house for what? Bought land or whatever for $4 million. They did some work on it.
Some work. They built a custom mansion.
Yeah. Well, that's to them, that's some work. To us, that's a tremendous amount. But they build it up. They increase the value of this property. They move on from it. They just did the same thing in L.A. This isn't new for them to do that. And who's to say they're not going to rent a house in Norwood? Well, they're not going to rent a house in Norwood. I'll say that. But Foxborough or something like that, something close. Who's to say that? Just because they go and buy a house in New York doesn't mean they're going to live in that house. Maybe they're going to buy a house in Greenwich to build it up and flip it. To me, it looks like they're just flipping this property for a nice, cool $10 million or something like that. They've done it before. And it makes sense that they would do it again. And just because he buys a house in New York or buys a house in Greenwich doesn't mean he's going to live there full time. Doesn't mean his kids are going to move there.
What's he going to do? Play for the Giants?
No.
The Jets? I mean, is that what he's going to do?
No. 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 Listen, there's one team I always looked at as a possibility for him to leave to. And that was the San Francisco 49ers.
Sure.
Just go home. Your family's there. That's the team you grew up rooting for. You're a huge Joe Montana fan. That would be a cool story for him to finally get to play for the team he grew up rooting for. Well, that's not going to happen. That well's been poisoned by Bill. Whether intentionally or not, one way or another, that was poisoned.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Can I just interject for 1 second?
Please do.
Okay. Let me just bring up a quick little scenario, because I've heard people talk about it, and now that you mention that, it is interesting. When can the 49ers get out of Jimmy Garoppolo's contract if they want to, if they really wanted to?
2 years, I believe.
I think it's after this season.
Is it?
So they do a one-year deal with Tom Brady, and we'll just play devil's advocate. They do a one-year deal with Tom Brady. It doesn't go great for Brady this year, let's just say. The 49ers can get out of that contract. You don't think there could be a little switcheroo that goes on there?
I think the 49ers would love it, and I think Bill Belichick would love it.
That's some mutual agreement. I mean.
Oh, man. I think you're right, by the
way.
I don't think
the Crafts love it? That's another question. I mean, there's a lot of things at play. I'm just throwing it out there because I think that's the scenario.
It's interesting. It's certainly interesting. Once you start getting into this and mulling it around, look, going back to Belichick dealing Jimmy to the 49ers, do I think it was just this magnanimous decision from him to ship Jimmy G over there because he thinks that's going to be the best situation for Jimmy and detrimental to the team? When does he really do things that are detrimental to the team?
Never.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't make really bad deals where he could have gotten much better deals somewhere else. Sometimes there's a little bit more on the table from another team, but maybe he doesn't like the positioning of the draft pick. But in this case, we know that there was more on the table, and you like to always bring up the same exact scenario there, which
please
is...
Please bring it up. You can say it. Just say it. Sam Bradford went for a one! I don't want to say forgive him. He will never get out of that doghouse. Bill, that was just inexcusable. You cannot do worse than what the Eagles did for Sam Bradford. You cannot do worse. And he did. You
he
had
did.
To at least get a one. At least if Sam Bradford went for a one, hype is a powerful thing. Potential, ceiling, you should have at least gotten a one for Jimmy. We've been down that road. We don't need to go back. But you should have at least gotten a one. He'll never get out of that doghouse.
But we do know there was more on the table from Cleveland, right?
Yeah, that's what we've heard.
We know that that is true, or as true as we can believe it to be. So why all of a sudden did he trade a guy to a team that doesn't help his team out as much as possible, when he never does that?
Well, one thing that I thought always was in play in terms of that was that they were an NFC team. You never have to see them. Never have to see that
team.
Yeah,
I mean, this isn't... Yeah, you see them once every 3 years or whatever it is.
I see what you're saying.
But in Cleveland, you see them once every 3 years.
But you could see them in the playoffs.
The only time in the NFL where I look at that and go... And you kind of don't want to do it in your own division.
Yeah.
But conference, who cares? And division, not that big of a deal. Look what happened back in 2002. You sent Bledsoe up to Buffalo and said, I'll deal with playing him twice a year. That's fine. I don't think that's a big a deal. Sending him to the NFC versus the AFC? I mean, if it was Miami, yeah, okay, that might be a problem there, because now you got to face him twice a year, every single year for the next 4 years. So you're looking at it like, hey, I'm going to face this guy 8 times. I don't want him to come back and burn us and steal division titles away from us. Any other team outside of Dolphins, Jets, Bills, I think it's a completely fair game. I don't look at it like AFC, NFC split. Like, I'd rather have him in the NL. It's not like baseball where you'd rather have him in the NL and be like, I might not face this guy ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Bill poisoned that well a little bit and said, all right, fine. I'll resign myself to having dealing with Brady for the next couple of years, but I'm going to leave him without options so that I cannot get put over a barrel and not have any quarterback that I feel confident in.
I don't know if I agree that much with that statement. I see where you're going, and I think there's something to it.
There's dots that need to be connected.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if I'm going to go down the road with you.
It's fine. I'll travel down that road by myself. All I'm right. sure some people will agree with me.
And just one other thing I wanted to mention real quick. I'm a little annoyed with Tom Brady. Now,
I'm with you.
Because I think, now, in his defense, the quote that we all heard this week was, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do we have that sound, Joe?
No, play this. Off the top of my head, I'll find it.
Okay. It is what it is, and that's the quote we heard. But if you listen to the entire media session.
I did.
He does, earlier on, address the contract a couple times and sounds like Tom Brady. He sounds like he said the things I wanted him to say about the contract. But it's come out that, hey, Tommy Kern, I think, reported for NBC Sports Boston. This wasn't all roses, and it wasn't really what Brady was looking for, and there were some things there that aggravated him. I'm assuming that's the lack of security in the next year and the following year.
Well, you know what? He liked it enough to sign it.
He did. But here's what I'm saying. I think Brady, what's his favorite ring?
The next ring.
That's right. By now, you should know, Tom, that this is never going to be about what you've done. And if it is, then we got a problem, because that's the way this organization has always worked. They never look at what you've done. They look at what you can do. The fact that he would be even a little bit annoyed sort of annoys me, because you know, Tom, by now what this organization is all about, and you know who you're dealing with, especially Belichick. You got to know that, hey, they're not going to roll out the red carpet, no, despite what I did last year or 3 years ago or whenever. They're not going to do that. They are going to do what they need to do. They're going to do business the way they do business. And if that means not giving me the extension or the final years that I want guaranteed, you should know that by now. And you should be on board with that. And I think he is, because he signed it. But that's why this organization has been so successful. And I think that media session the other day was sort of a microcosm of why the Patriots have been so successful. Tom Brady didn't love the deal, wanted some security, allegedly, but still signed it and swallowed it and basically said the right things and you know, swallowed a little pride and conceded a little bit. And I think the Patriots did too. They can't franchise him. That's a concession on the part of the Patriots. So everybody's working with each other here. There's some egos at play. You got to harness them and keep them in check. And everybody moves forward together. And then guess what will happen? They'll probably be in the Super Bowl again. I think that media session and Brady's sort of frustration, but not really, was a perfect microcosm for the New England Patriots.
I'm frustrated with Brady because I look at it and go, yeah, you want your security. I understand that everyone wants their security a couple of years on their contract so that they make sure they get paid. But at the same time, I look at it as like, you have to understand the organization's position. You are in uncharted territory. They know eventually at some point, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after, you're going to fall off because you're hitting your mid-40s. We don't see premier athletes in their mid-40s for a very obvious reason. They decline. So he should be also looking from it. They don't want to be punished in case this is the year I decline and I'm just not any good anymore. And then they have all this dead money that they can't do anything with.
I'm not worried.
Him wanting multiple years does not benefit the Patriots from the standpoint that they lose flexibility with that. If he does fall off the cliff this year and he has two more years left, well, they're screwed. So he's also got to kind of look at it from their side of the equation too. And instead of being overly frustrated about it, just understand it is what it is, if you're going to use that phrase.
Tom Brady needs to look at this with gratitude, and I'm sure he is, but he needs to be grateful that he's in a position where they have cleared the deck for him. They have cleared the dance floor and the stage.
Yeah.
And it's your show, Tom, for as long as you can do it. It is your show. There's nobody behind them that's putting on pressure. There's no threat of being traded, I don't think. But they've cleared the deck for him, and it's his job. Okay? But, and you talked about declining. I'm not as worried about declining.
I'm not either, but I'm just the bigger picture of flexibility from the organization and from him. Like, yeah. He's got to look a little more at what the organization's going through. And if you're a team player and you want the team to be successful, and he's done throughout his entire career, which is take these little restructurings of the contract, kind of manipulate the cap, he's got to look at it now, too, and say, okay, I am this old.
Correct.
And yes, I am still very good, if not the best still, but it could stop at any time.
But I think that if he is a little frustrated because of those reasons, I think also it's because he's looking back and thinking naturally, it's human nature, everything I've done for you. We won a Super Bowl last year. I've played really well. You can't do that. I know it sucks, but you can't do that. Even if you're Tom Brady, you can't really do that because that's not what this organization has been all about. But I'll tell you what I'm worried about.
Mm.
We talked, you know, declining and he's 42. My biggest fear is injury. What would ever happen if he went down with a season-ending injury, God forbid a catastrophic one that took more than a year or a year to come back from?
Well,
then what happens at 42, 43? Where are the Patriots quarterback-wise?
Jarrett Stidham.
That's a problem. And that's, I think, also what came into play here when they're thinking about going year to year. Because not only declining, if he just naturally declines, but if he ever got hurt, that recovery process, they have no idea what that's going to be like for a 43 or 42-year-old.
And it's not just a catastrophic injury. What we might think is a minor injury for a 25-year-old might be more along the lines of becoming a catastrophic injury for a 42, 43-year-old.
If I'm Bill Belichick, okay, I absolutely would have brought Brady into the office and I would have said, just explain to me real quick why you're lifting more weights right now. That's what I would have done. Because I thought this whole pliability thing was
well, he's said that, to absorb the hits better.
But I thought he absorbed the hits by being an elastic.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So I just want to know. Now, look, it might not be that big of a difference, and I just want to be reassured. But it sounds like, based on what everything, I mean, you remember that we talked about this, the Tom versus Time?
Yeah.
When Julian Edelman, they were in like Montana, and Edelman was going to lift weights, and Brady wasn't. And he was like, I can't be like you. I need to actually lift weights. Edelman said that to Brady, and Brady laughed at him as he walked away. That sounded different than Tom Brady now talking about how I have to put on a few more pounds. Why are you putting on more pounds? That's fine. I don't mind, but I just want to know the reasoning because I was under the impression that this pliability was why you were so effective so late in your career and you never hurt. What's the reason for this? I don't know. Because if he gets hurt, that's a different animal that they'd be dealing with and nobody knows how the recovery would go. And then you'd have...
Does he ever recover?
Brian Hoyer. That's the question. It depends on the injury. But then you have Brian Hoyer, who looked like Peyton Manning the other night. But I don't know. You know, that's not a good situation. And the injury is really what worries me. The injury, because not only can you not play, but like I said, if it was ever an injury that didn't allow him to train the way he's used to training, well, that's, I mean, all your powers are gone. Because not only you're not playing, you're not training. And now you're just a 42-year-old. Then where are we?
We're
I totally agree
up the creek without a paddle.
I totally agree with the contract, and I think both parties did what they needed to do, yeah. And I support it. And I don't want anybody upset about it.
Listen,
or if they are for a minute, and then get over it and let's go.
Does any player ever get exactly everything they want in their contract? Likely not. Likely not. He got some things he wanted in there. They got things they wanted in there. Sounds to me mutually beneficial. But I'm not buying this whole... he's putting the house on the market to, you know, kind of spit in Belichick's face, shows displeasure. So, no, that's stupid. That's childish.
He wants to finish his career with the Patriots.
Yes.
That's what he wants to do.
He's too connected with the crafts, with TB12 and, the location they have down at Gillette's place.
Right, I didn't even think about that.
Patriot place, whatever it's called. He's too connected. He's too tied in with them. He's not going anywhere. And you know what? Bob Kraft's not going to let him go anywhere.
Can I tell?
I know Kraft did this deal with him, but Kraft's also a really good businessman. Yes, he might love Tom Brady. I'm sure he loves him like no other. But he's a really good businessman. He's not going to get bent over the barrel by this guy.
Let me just say two more things real quick. I think that Tom Brady, if he does end up playing in another uniform, I think it's because of Belichick and Kraft. They're the ones that ship him away or make him go. I don't think it's because Tom Brady gets pissed and takes his ball and goes home or sells his house and says, F it, I'm out. I don't think that's what it is. The only scenario, this is the second thing I wanted to say, the only scenario where I could see him playing for another team, and you tell me whether or not you agree, would be if we always hear about 45, he wants to play till he's 45.
Yeah.
If he gets to that number, okay, and then all of a sudden just refuses to give it up, and it's clear he's not the player he once was, might still be fine, serviceable, but he just will not give it up. He will not let it go. He's not the player he once was and just does not want to retire. Then I think if they're all still in place, Bill Belichick could convince Robert Kraft to say, look, we know everything he's done, but he's clearly not the guy. We've talked about 40. He's talked about 45. Now he wants to keep playing. How much longer are we going to do this? And then I think that's when it could happen if it came to that. I don't think it's even going to come to that. But I think that's the only way, realistically, he leaves and plays in another uniform.
I agree with you because I think one of the things that's a motivating factor for Brady and for Belichick in all this situation is they both want to win without the other one. And it's not a malicious thing. It's just a legacy play of, you know, my legacy is so tied to this guy. If I can get one without him, I look that much better. Not because I want to look better than him. It just helps elevate my legacy.
Sure.
Whether that's Brady or Belichick. Belichick wants to win with the next guy, prove that he's the guru. Brady wants to win with, the, you know, McDaniels or some other team to prove that, you know, I'm not just a Belichick guy. I can win without him. I'm a successful player on my own merits. You don't have to constantly tie me to this guy. Same thing with Belichick.
Okay, I don't disagree with that, but I don't think that's enough for Brady to want to leave or orchestrate some sort of departure from New England just to prove he can win without Belichick.
No, but it's another straw on the camel's back. It's just another one. Because we know there's frustration.
Yep.
I don't think there's anger, but we know there's frustration. And more things that, you know, compile upon each other, one of those things will be the straw that broke the camel's back eventually. And it's just one of the pieces to the puzzle. That's all.
All right, when we get back, I want to talk about the preseason game. They destroyed the Lions. We'll get into that. I have a Mookie Betts thought and a Red Sox thought. We'll talk about the baseball team. Did you hear what Antonio Brown said by any chance?
About the helmet?
About the helmet.
Yes.
So we're gonna. I want to talk about that for a minute, too. A lot to get to. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Sports 3.7 WEEI. Call the show at 401-737-1287.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 401-737-1287 is the phone number, 37937 text line. Let's talk to Mike in North Providence. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, just a quick note on the offense and the defense.
Sure.
With regards to Brady, the main thing this year that's going to just protect him isn't so much as weightlifting. It's the fact that they're just going to double down on what they did in the playoffs, which is a 50-50 run-pass split. That's why we got five running backs. You can even see Bolden is perfectly capable of carrying the ball. He's just not as good as the other one. And this is why he's back. So, because if you're a running team, you don't want to have like what we had last year with like Sony gets hurt and now you can't really run the ball anymore. You want layers of depth in that.
Sure.
And in the playoffs, you know, Tom got sacked a grand total of one time over three games against some of the best pass rushers in the league. And it wasn't just the sacks. He was barely pressured or touched the whole time. So, I mean, if he's able to do that in the playoffs against those teams, what are the mediocre teams in the league going to be able to do against us? So, Tom, it's like rubbing him and wrapping him in bubble wrap, playing that way. Secondly, with regards to the defense, when you're talking about that, I thought people made a big deal about Trey Flowers leaving. Oh, he's our best pass rusher. Nothing against him. He's a really good player. But the key thing at the end of last year was that they weren't rushing three and dropping eight because the pass protection was bad. Once J.C. Jackson entered the fold, you had really, really great, you know, secondary coverage of the passes, which allowed Belichick to blitz all the time and do some very novel blitzes. In particular, what was the key play of the Super Bowl? It was the safety blitz from Daron Harmon getting in Goff's face, and he throws a floater to Gilmore.
Sure.
I mean, we're going to be seeing this all year. We saw the first taste of it in the first preseason game with nine sacks. I'm not saying they're going to get nine sacks every game, but Belichick is blurring the lines between the positions. I mean, is it going to be a 4-3 defense or a 3-4? In reality, it's going to be both. He's going to be lining up Hightower and other outside linebackers as ends if he feels like it, or he can have them as linebackers. the other team's never going to know what's really going to be happening. And even with like somebody, a big guy like Juwan Williams out there, he's blurring the lines between the positions so that a quarterback from another team that steps up, he's not really going to know who's coming. And same thing with that offensive line. They're going to be constantly confused as to who to block because the Patriots are going to be dropping one guy back in the pass protection they're expecting to be coming, and another guy's going to be coming who they thought was going to be pass protection. So,
well, appreciate the call, Mike. I agree. Here's my thing. Well, first of all, I have asked you this question before.
Yeah.
Not with these specific names because I don't know if we knew that this was going to be the way the roster shook out. Who would you rather have on the Patriots? Trey Flowers or Michael Bennett and Jamie Collins?
Michael Bennett and Jamie Collins.
Yes, because...
And I like Flowers. He's a good player. He's versatile, but he can't break your back one way or the other.
He's not some irreplaceable asset. He's a good player. I appreciate what he did here. He came up big in big games. But this isn't a guy you cannot replace. And the way that I know it was preseason. I know that the first preseason game, I always thought that the starters played in the first preseason game. Is that like a new thing where no starters play anymore?
Yeah, it's over the last couple of years. Yeah. Normally it was the first three they played in. Third was the showcase game. Yeah. I mean, they used to play in all four of them. They used to have six.
No, but you're right. The third one was the showcase game, and then the fourth one was nothing.
Was the Jags.
But I thought
we'll throw our Jags against the Giants' Jags and see what happens.
But look. If you didn't think it was delicious watching Juwan Bentley and Jamie Collins work the other night. Now, again, the Lions preseason, if they could be at all productive this season, that's huge. I mean, neither of them were there last year at the end. That would be huge for this defense, for this team, especially if Jamie Collins could offset some of what you lost in terms of pass rush. So
yeah, but you gained more in pass rush with Bennett.
Of course.
So you didn't lose anything. You were net positive as it pertains to pass.
Sure. He ends up being better than Trey Flowers, definitely.
Oh, he historically has been. I mean, last year he was still pretty damn good. No, you got better in that front. You got better being able to attack the quarterback. And there were some things that Mike talked about in terms of, we know that about football. Each level affects the other one. If you can get one going appropriately, it's going to benefit the other two, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know that's going to happen. In terms of the offense, yeah, we know that they want to run the ball more. We know that.
Who are their running backs? List them off for me. Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, James White, Brandon Bolden. Who's the other one I'm missing?
The draft pick.
Damian Williams?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think Burkhead will be here.
That's a stable. No, you're right. He could be gone.
I just think he's the odd man out. I like his ability. He just can't stay on the field.
Right.
We know that's a huge problem. He brought up Bolden. Ugh.
Yeah.
You can find guys like that.
But you know what? I'm all Bolden's... for him being a workhorse in the preseason. Because if anybody's going to get hurt, I mean, I don't want him to get hurt, but if somebody's going to get hurt, I'd rather it be Brandon Bolden than somebody else.
Bolden's a good depth guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he provides you more
leadership, special teams,
than
all those things.
Burkhead does because he's versatile.
Yep.
I mean, he's not as good of a running back as Rex Burkhead is, but he's not so much worse.
What was your favorite part of the game? What did you like? Come on. It was a great game. It was a perfect night of preseason football. What'd you like?
I liked watching the wide receivers.
Yes.
Loved watching them work.
Yeah.
But I temper my expectations while I'm watching because I also know that they're going against the Lions backups.
Darius Slay was on the field for a little.
For a little.
Yeah.
You're still going against generally and not a good Lions team on top of that. So I'm not blown away by it. We've seen, you can list off 5-6 guys that we've seen blow people away in preseason games, particularly at the wide receiver or tight end front, and it doesn't end up meaning a whole lot. But I liked what I saw. You know, you didn't see bad things. You didn't see things that you're like, oh, man, he's really got to work on this. He is 10 steps behind on this. You didn't see any of that. And I liked the way Stidham worked with them. That's what I was looking for the most. Because that's one of our biggest areas of concern on this team, is outside of Edelman, who can be reliable? Not good, just who can be reliable?
Well, yes, the wide receivers. That's my big takeaway from the game. Because the big question mark for the Patriots this year, because it's going to be a huge swing situation in terms of good year, great year, or whatever year, will be the pass catchers. How was Tom Brady at the beginning of last year when he had nobody to throw to? No wide receivers to throw to because Julian Edelman was out. Gronk was out there, but Chris Hogan was ineffective. Philip Dorsett was ineffective. People keep talking about Philip Dorsett. I'm not high on Philip Dorsett.
I'm not either.
He made the one catch in the championship game. Thank you.
Great.
Well done. But I am not high on it. I hope they don't have to rely on him much this year. I am all about, I mean, I love these new toys. We haven't enjoyed wide young, potential-filled wide receivers in a long time. So Harry and now this kid, Jacoby Myers, I mean, I am fired up watching them. I love what I'm seeing out of them. First of all, it doesn't look like they need a ton of separation to be able to make the catch. When they have guys draped on them, it seems like they still make the catch. Strong hands, big bodies.
Well, we're seeing that. I mean, what did he only have two? He only had two catches, Nikhil Harry, right?
Yeah.
But we saw a little bit of that with him.
Yes.
And we saw some good awareness from Jacoby Myers and being able to just say, I know you're on me. I'm still going to put my hands out and make the catch here. We saw a lot of that from those guys. We like what we saw. You know, with regards to Nikhil Harry, we're seeing some of those things we've heard about on the scouting report.
Right.
And that he is tough. He is going to make those catches. He is stronger than the guy he's going up against, so he's going to win that battle. We saw just a tiny bit of that, but that tiny bit, it's got to make you feel good.
It's
got to make you feel good.
Warm and fuzzy. The bottom line is, this was the biggest question mark for me coming into the year because that was a big determinant of where this offense would go and in association where the team would go.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after one preseason game, it's only one game, it's one preseason game. But after that, all of a sudden, Harry and Myers look good. Is it too strong to say look like the real deal? I'll say they look good.
It's too strong to say they look good. Like the real deal.
And then you've got Josh Gordon applying for reinstatement.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes. But all you couldn't have asked for a better start, I don't think. I mean, other than Harry limping off the field, you couldn't have asked for a better start, and that's the big question mark I had. So what'll happen is we'll go down the road here. We'll see another preseason game. Who do they play next in the preseason?
Tennessee.
And then they play
Carolina
and then the Giants. We're going to see a few more preseason games, and then we'll see how the receivers continue to look, and then we'll evaluate whether or not it's time to talk about going undefeated.
But still, it is the preseason. We've seen guys like this have good preseasons before, and sometimes they don't even make the team. But
who though? Because I'm thinking of other guys. I know Zach Sudfeld had a good preseason.
Kimbrell Tompkins had a good preseason.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, he did translate that into some production in actual games.
A tiny bit. You got a very little bit out of him. There's a lot of the Jags that just don't. They have a couple of good games in preseason, then you never hear from them ever again.
It will be interesting to see Brady with these guys in a game. Even a preseason game.
That's the big test.
Yeah.
Is are they reading the same thing Brady's reading? Because they can look good with Hoyer. That's fine in case Brady goes down. But you've got to be on the same page as Tom Brady. You have to make the same read as Tom Brady. You have to be in the same place where he wants you to be. And that's a big difference from a backup. Very big difference who doesn't have the same kind of leeway to make those adjustments, to make those calls at the line that Brady does. I'm sure he has plenty, but it's not the same. And it's catching the ball out of someone else's arm, and the ball's coming at you in a different way. So you got to be on the same page with him. You can be on the same page as the backup. That's great and everything. But it doesn't mean a whole lot unless that backup's actually playing in regular season games.
That's the big thing. And it looked like Tom Brady, he was excited, obviously, for Hoyer. It looks like Brady and Myers have developed a little bit of a rapport, at least based on everything I've read and everything that we heard out of Detroit and the joint practices. I want to see it in the game because that's the biggest thing, I think, with this team. That's the biggest question mark with this team. Can they throw the ball effectively and not turn into that team from the beginning four games of last season where they really struggled offensively? Because they're not going to just run the ball. They're not going to just, even with Tom Brady, good offensive line, they're not going to just run over teams when you have no threat of the pass. That was why they were so effective in the playoffs. There was a threat of the pass, but they were also able to run the ball. So they have to have the balance, obviously. Everybody knows that.
It makes them a much better offense being able to add that element of a 75% running game. Not that they're running the ball 75% of the time, but I mean, it's 75% of what a really good running game would be, right?
Yeah.
It not only do you have that option to start to take time off a clock at the end of a game to, limit the other team's potential to tie the game or take over the lead, whatever.
Yeah.
But it also adds that element of play action pass in. Because if you don't have a running game, you don't do play action. What's the point? That threat's not really there. They're not going to buy it. They're not going to believe it anyway.
Okay.
So it adds that element in. So, you know, maybe this is actually better for those young wide receivers because it's not all read routes that they had to do before because you didn't have a run game. Your run game was your passing game, mm-hmm. or your short passing game. So maybe this is going to be easier for those young wide receivers to acclimate themselves, to become valuable options for this team. So it's really good what they're doing, and it's really smart, obviously. And is it out of necessity? I don't know. Is it out of a long-term game plan from Bill? Probably. Probably reading the tea leaves saying, I got an older quarterback. I need to add this other element in.
And we're not even talking about how well they could play defense. If they could play defense well, I mean, that takes all that takes a lot of pressure off of other things. Because remember, we still talk about the Patriots. At least I do. It's sort of by default. As the team that really needs the offensive production, because the defense we hope will be good, but they're probably not going to be great where they can carry the day. So we just need we need the production offensively to offset some of the shortcomings that we know the defense will inevitably have. But that's not necessarily going to be the case this year. We don't know. It was early. It was one preseason game, but Bentley and Collins look good, and J.C. Jackson looked like he still can play one preseason game. We know Gilmore's a stud. We know the secondary in terms of the safeties. They have all that continuity. So I have some high hopes for the defense that they'll be better than just sufficient.
No, I think they're going to be pretty good because they do have very talented players at all three levels of that defense. We know the secondary, you just started talking about it. We're very comfortable there. Defensive line, we're okay. Linebackers, a little bit of a question mark, a little bit, but not really. You don't really have these glaring holes defensively that we've seen them have before.
Yeah, we'll see.
In terms of, you don't have a pass rush. You got to get really creative if you want to get to that quarterback and cause problems. Now you do. You have someone who can create problems for you.
A little bit of the linebackers, I mean, I don't know what to say there. Bentley looked good last year. He won a spot last year. He was playing in games, had the interception in Detroit. Then he got hurt. We know Jamie Collins enough to think that he should be a contributor. You know, he's going to make the team. He should be, I would think, he's going to be a contributor. Then you've got Hightower and Van Noy. Van Noy was a stud in the playoffs. A stud.
He was their best linebacker.
And we know about Hightower. So those are four guys right there. And then if you want to bring in a guy like Alandon Roberts, but from number five on the depth chart, just in linebacking, that's all you need. I mean, that's really good. When Alandon Roberts becomes your second linebacker, that's when you have an issue. But when he's your fifth, that's pretty good. Or even your fourth. So I don't really know. Right now, they're pretty good at linebacker. We'll see. It was one preseason game. Jamie Collins looked good. We'll see. I was pretty stoked after that game. It looked good. I think it was basically the perfect preseason night for the New England Patriots. All right, when we get back.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. Did you hear Antonio Brown this week? So basically, Antonio Brown playing for the Raiders doesn't like the new helmet. Neither does Tom Brady, by the way. He doesn't like the new helmet and basically said... Not basically, he said, if he can't wear his old helmet, he's not going to play. Do we have the sound, Joe? We'll get you that sound.
Yeah, I got some local sound. Give me like 10 seconds.
Okay, so we got the sound. I mean, this is a guy. He just joined the Raiders.
What an odd week
They're
for this
on
idiot.
Hard knocks. I mean, you're trying to make an impression on your team, I would think. And he just talks about he's not going to play because of the helmet.
Well, first he got frostbite. That was the beginning
of the
week.
Yeah.
And by the end of the week, he might retire over a helmet.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
Yeah.
He's an awesome player, but what a douche. What a self-absorbed douche.
And can you imagine, though, that the Patriots, there was chatter that the Patriots could have been in on him, or people wanted the Patriots in on him. You want to be in on that?
Well, I think the chatter came from...
Might not have been the team.
His,
it might have been...
His agent.
Okay.
Remember that phone call between him and his agent, and then the agent put it out there, and he's talking about, you know, the Patriots, and then he starts glowing about Belichick and Brady. I think that's all that was. I think it was just the agent blowing a little bit of smoke up his client's ass.
Okay.
I can't imagine. I don't know. This guy is a nightmare. Great player, but poison in the locker room. Absolute poison in the locker room. And this neck, you're not going to play over a helmet, really? You can't find a helmet that's appropriate for you? They allow like 11 different versions of helmets. None of them can work for you. Because the vision, okay, well then change up the face mask a little bit. Remember Peyton Manning's old weird face mask?
Sure.
That was barely even there. It was just covering his chin. And that's, wear one of those if you're complaining about the vision. But for some reason, I suspect some of this has to do with, and this is childish, but look who we're talking about. He doesn't want a new one because he thinks the old one looks cool. I think he's one of those tools.
Is that what he said?
No.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that's part of it. I can't quite see out of it. Then get a new face mask. There's so many different variations of face masks.
I mean, these are the rules. I mean, this is the new rule. They're trying to keep you safer, right? Isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, because they don't want to, continue to pay out all these old players who have concussion problems later in life.
This is the rule. You're going to not play? You're going to retire because of the helmet? Antonio Brown, inactive, doesn't like helmet. I mean, is it... See, this is what the Patriots are up against, though. Guys like this, this is why they win every... This is why they're in the AFC Championship game every year. Because they go up against guys like this on teams like this. And he's one of the best players. He's the face of the freaking Raiders right now. And here he is talking about his helmet. And that he's not going to play because of the helmet. This is why.
This is a player that doesn't want to win a game. Doesn't care. Win or loss. Does not care. It's all about Antonio Brown. That's it. It's a bad version of Randy Moss because I think Moss at least cared somewhat.
Yeah.
Especially when he got into a better situation. He cared a little bit more about those type of things. But this is just a worse version of that.
I just can't believe this is what it comes to. This is what it is. Do we have the sound, Joe?
Not yet. The one I found was a local report.
All right, forget the sound. Here's the other thing I have in terms of an issue with Antonio Brown. Because I've talked about this with Darrell Reeves. He's saying in this little interview clip how he can't or he doesn't need football. He wants football, but he doesn't need football. Because he's an entrepreneur. He's a millionaire. Sir, you are not. Don't
You're
try
not
to paint yourself like some business genius.
Listen.
You are not. You're a good football player. So people, Darrell Revis, want to give you money to play football. And they want you on your team. You're in demand because you're good at football. That's it. You're not some smart guy who's really cunning with his investments in business. No. It's not how it works. It's not what it is. You're good at football, and people want you playing football for them. That's where it ends.
And none of these 10 athletes that think they're entrepreneurs outside of the game are actually just suckers who are getting their money just swindled from them on bad deals by people that actually kind of know what they're doing. I have a restaurant here. Okay. How much money are you going to piss away in that god-awful restaurant of yours? Okay. You're starting this social media business. Oh, how much money are you going to piss away into this? And get no return out of it. You're not an entrepreneur.
No.
No, you're just a sucker who's getting swindled out of your money, which is 9 out of the 10 of these guys. Remember that ESPN 30 for 30 broke? Yeah. Those were all idiots who thought they were entrepreneurs. There's
right.
A couple of guys who didn't think they were entrepreneurs who just straight up spent it and knew they were doing it and whatever. But a lot of those guys, I thought I was investing in this. I thought I was doing this. No, someone conned you into you giving them money.
Antoine Walker. Let's talk to Dan.
He also gambled away trying to keep up with Jordan.
Talk to Dan and Cranston. Dan, good morning.
Hall of Fame day today, boys. Get outside as quickly as possible.
Okay.
One thing about Brown, don't forget he flew in a balloon. So,
yeah.
The thing about him is you're right. I mean, he's basically a narcissist is the best part, but he's bipolar. I mean, there's something severely wrong with this cat.
I wouldn't say he's bipolar. I'd say he's delusional.
Oh, he'd be so. I mean, he's just. There's something he needs drugs for. But what I was going to say is, you know why he's like this? Because there's idiots like Mike Tomlin that enable him through his whole career. The reason he's at this point is there's nobody like Bill Belichick to discipline him. They enable these guys, and that's why they get to these points. And their talent allows them to do it.
Yeah, but he's a player's coach, Dan. He's a player's coach.
Hold on. I know what you're saying, and I somewhat agree with you. But let's also hold him accountable for being a butthole himself, not just, well, you know, Tomlin kind of coddled him a little bit.
Yeah, but you're both right.
How about he's just an ass on top of it? Yeah, he got coddled, and yeah, he got babied a little bit. But he's also taking advantage of it. And so you can't just swipe the slate clean for him.
Le'Veon Bell is not far behind him either. And, you know, Roethlisberger's his own category as well. The Steelers probably are the biggest waste of talent that I've ever seen in the NFL, maybe of all of sports. You think about the level of talent they have and the no accomplishments that they've gotten out of that crew, they might be a better team moving forward without those two idiots, to be honest with you.
Oh, they'll definitely be better. I don't think they might be. They'll definitely be better. They'll definitely be. I think they'll have a bounce back year this year.
Yeah, the rest of those guys, you can say that. At least Roethlisberger's won. So, you know, as much as I kind of detest him, you can't really put him in that same situation.
No, Schuster will easily take Brown's place, and the running backs, Connor, and they're fine. They'll be good. I mean, they'll be good moving forward. So, that's it, guys. You have a good day.
All right, you too. This is along the same lines as what we've always talked about with Aaron Rodgers. Same thing.
Did you see the new one from him this week?
The new one.
From Rodgers?
No.
Complaining about joint practices and special teams at joint practices. Oh, this is where all the guys get hurt. He is an insufferable ass.
This is cut from the same cloth. What Dan was just talking about with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and how they're the biggest waste of talent. Aaron Rodgers has been to one Super Bowl. This is the same situation. Unbelievable talent. Elite talent. But when you're so self-absorbed or focused on the wrong things, you can get derailed so quickly. Football's the ultimate team sport. That talent only takes you so far, and Brown and Bell and Rodgers are all examples of that. Despite the elite talent, there's always something else going on where they're focused on the wrong things. I'm annoyed by this. I'm moody now. I'm moody here. I'm posting to Facebook when I should be focused on the next opponent. I mean, there's always something. And as we've seen with the Patriots, it doesn't take much. One mistake. Now, at least for the Patriots, their mistakes are more usually football mistakes, I would say. Either an injury where they can't control that, or if you want to go this way, I always thought that if they didn't get rid of Deion Branch that year in 05 or whatever, they would have won the Super Bowl again. They would have beaten the Colts in Indianapolis. They wouldn't have blown the 18-point lead. They would have beaten the Bears. They decided to move on, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. That was a football mistake. I mean, at least that wasn't some dope knucklehead mistake in the locker room that derailed the season or derailed 6 years.
Or in Aaron Rodgers' case, just being an arrogant fool.
Right.
Thinking you automatically know better than everyone else and buying into your own hype.
Yes, exactly.
He's derailed. Now, do I think McCarthy was a good coach? No, not particularly. But I think Aaron Rodgers made that situation far worse than it needed to be just to prove something. And who knows what?
I said this last week after the show, because remember last week was Tom Brady's birthday?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at his Instagram, and did you see, you know, I don't know if you're on Instagram, but I'm looking at his Instagram. All of the ex-teammates are tweeting at him, Instagramming him, writing on his wall or whatever, wishing him happy birthday. So many teammates, ex-teammates, people from around the league, whatever. That's why Tom Brady has been to as many Super Bowls, and that's why Aaron Rodgers hasn't. Because you never see that kind of reaction for Aaron Rodgers' birthday. I know it's just a stupid birthday. It means nothing. But the relationships he has with the teammates means something. Over the years, that has meant something. And that is a reason why the culture in New England has been so good and productive and why the culture in Pittsburgh and in Green Bay has not been. And it's real. It's real, especially in the ultimate team sport, which is football. All right, when we get back, hour two, this is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Back. We'll go around the NFL a little bit. Like I said, I want to talk about that Antonio Brown thing. Red Sox, too. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.